Well, good morning, everyone. Happy Sabbath. What? Happy Sabbath. All right. Well, that's a little better. Happy Sabbath. Okay, that's better. Okay, today we're going to talk about being prepared. Who knows what season it is? What season is it? When you go outside, is it? Is it winter? What? Spring, huh? Well, do you know what other season it is? Guess what? It's tornado season. All through April and May. Yeah, March through June. So from now till it gets hot in the summer, it's pretty much we can have a tornado. All right, this is a picture of the tornado that went through in 91, the Andover tornado. That's from the Air Force Base. Some Air Force people were out on the side of their building taking a picture. Okay, go ahead. And this is the same tornado looking south from Tallgrass Country Club. And so go ahead. And this is just a picture of some of the damage. So how would you like to be in one of those houses? Would anybody like to be in one of those houses? I don't think so. Some of them are completely gone. Some of them are just kind of collapsed, you can see. Okay, go ahead. Okay, this is the tornado that went through in 2012. That's the one that hit Spirit Aerosystems. And go ahead. And this is some of the damage. I think that was before it hit Spirit. I think that was south in Plainfield. Or Plainview, Plainfield, something like that. Plainview, maybe it was Plainview. I don't even type the wrong name up there. Okay, go ahead. This is what happened at one of the buildings at Spirit Aerosystems. My office was just about two buildings down. You kind of see the corner of one building. There was another building down here. And I would have sat right where that blue thing is on my building. So if it had gone two more buildings south, it would have gone right over my desk. But, okay, and this is some other damage. You can see some of those houses collapsed. But not, they're not gone. Some of them times they just kind of half collapse. Okay. I think, and this was about at Rock and Pawnee. That's about half a mile from my house. It went through. You know, the first tornado we saw, the one that went through Andover, that missed my house by about 2 miles. This one missed my house by about two blocks. So I was, fortunately, when it went over our house, now that's another thing about tornadoes is sometimes they can kind of fizzle out, but then they come back real strong. So this quick trip was on one corner of my mile section. There's another quick trip on the other corner of my mile section, which was really damaged. But our house, we didn't get much. It was mainly just trees around our place. So it kind of, and then it kind of came back down. But, so you can see that you can, around Kansas, you can get pretty close to a tornado. And when this one went through, we heard it. It was the rumble. You know, they always say there's a rumble, like a train going by. That's what it kind of sounded like. And we were down in the basement, and we could hear it coming. And when I started to hear it going away, I thought, whew, you know, because I didn't know exactly where it was. We were down in the basement. So, okay, go on to the next slide. Okay, now, that's all the tornado slides.
Were we prepared when it went through? Did we have things prepared?
Yeah, we were prepared for the tornado. How do you get prepared for a tornado? Take shelters. Yeah, you got to figure out, first thing you got to do is figure out where your shelter is. So if you're in an apartment, or if you're in like a mobile home or something like that, you have to figure out where in the apartment are you supposed to go in a storm. You got to do that before the storm comes or it's too late. Okay.
Okay, so I went online on FEMA site. It's www.ready.gov for you parents. And they had some items to consider to putting together an emergency kit, which I brought ours to show you.
An old bucket.
This is a kitty litter bucket, but it works. Okay, so the first thing they suggest is prescription medication and glasses. So, let's see. I'll show you what's in my kit. There's an extra pair of glasses.
Usually you can use, like, your last prescription pair or something.
And I brought my prescription bottle. But you know what? I think this might be empty. Is that going to do me any good? No, I should have checked to make sure it was full, shouldn't I? So that won't work. Okay, so the next couple things are family documents and insurance policies. Well, as I was updating my kit, I didn't have time to put those in. So that'll be okay, won't it? No. I really do need those, so I'm going to have to go back and do that. Okay, it suggests cash and traveler's checks or change. Now, when we were in the disaster area, even though we weren't damaged, we were still in the disaster area, and we noticed one thing, that credit cards did not work. You had to have cash or coin to purchase anything. So here's my wallet, and I have put a penny in here. You think that's enough? You think that's going to help me? No. I need to redo this. I need to put more in here because the credit cards don't work, so I'm going to have to work on this. Okay, so the next thing is a warm blanket or sleeping bag. So let me see if I've got that. Yes, I have a blanket. So I'm okay there. And then you want a complete change of clothing because sometimes these problems happen at night and you may get awakened from sleep and have to take shelter. And it's not something to be afraid of, but it is something to prepare for. So I have clothing in here. I have pants and I have some heavy shoes. I didn't put sandals in here. I put heavy shoes because you don't know what you might be stepping on after the storm. So you want as thick a sole as you can.
Yeah, it might be glass and all sorts of stuff on the floor.
Okay, and then it suggests chlorine bleach and a medicine dropper. Sometimes the water may not be safe to drink. It depends what happened as far as damage with the storm. I didn't have time to do that. Is that going to be okay for my kid? No, I really need to do that, don't I? Because water is very important. And it suggests that we have several gallons of water per person. And I only have one bottle of water in here. Is that going to be enough? No. Well, maybe I didn't even do that. Oh, dear. I don't even have one bottle of water. So I have to really work on this. Then it says fire extinguisher. I didn't bring that. So I've got another problem. Matches in a waterproof container. I don't have that. And then it suggests personal hygiene items like your toothbrush and soap and things. Oh, well, I did do that. Here's my toothbrush and soap. So I've got that. Then it also suggests paper cups and plates and things like that, paper towels. I didn't do that, so I'm going to have to go back and do that. And the next thing is paper and pencil. Well, I thought I had that, but I went to look for it this morning, and it's not in there. And, of course, if you have pets or little children, your list will be more extensive than mine. You'll need to prepare for the babies and the pets. You'll need to think of them, too. As well as the children might need some sort of games or distractions to play with. So these are some of the things that we have put together. I've got some extra food here, things that really you could just eat out of your hand.
Just a bottle of nuts.
Yeah, a bottle of nuts, some wet wipes, a little first aid kit. Oh, you know what? Here's my paper and pencil, and here's my water. oh, I've got to go through and organize this better, because in a real disaster, if there was a problem, I wouldn't know where things are. So I've got a lot of work to do, don't I? And there's a Bible verse that goes along with being prepared. If you go to the next slide. Next slide.
Next slide.
It's Proverbs 22:3, and it says, a prudent person foresees danger. So that means we prepare ahead, and we take precautions. The simpleton, which means those that are foolish, goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. So not only must you prepare for yourself, but as you prepare to help yourself, you may be also to help others. Okay, children, let's bow our heads and get ready for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your verse that warns us to be prepared, for these things are coming. We know that time is short, and we must expect that these things would happen. Help us, Lord, to prepare and to look upon these things as a sign of your soon coming. We thank you. We come in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now time for prayer. If you have a blue card, you can bring it up this time. If you'd like to join me up front, you can. Father, we thank you so much for this Sabbath day. We thank you that you set it apart to be especially with us. And we pray that you would help us to worship you and to feel your presence today. We pray that your Spirit would guide us and lead us as we go through life, that we might put our trust in you, and that we might put all our cares and worries and blessings upon you, that we might know that you are there and that you are watching over each of us. We pray for those that are ill, that you would guide and comfort them, that you would heal them. We pray especially for Alex, Loretta's brother, that you would be with him, help him to continue to heal. And we thank you for your work in each life. Those that are ill, we pray for also for those that are struggling spiritually, that you might comfort them and that you might help them to know that you are present and that you love them and that you want to save them more than anything else. We pray also for the service today, that you would be with each aspect. We pray that you would be with Omari as he gives us the word today. And that you would help each one of us to receive a blessing as we spend this Sabbath day with you. We thank you, Lord, for your many blessings, and we come in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, church. Happy Sabbath. Can you hear me okay? Good. Call for offering today is for the church budget. But in your inserts, like there's a bulletin insert inside your bulletins. And I think it was a few weeks ago we had another one like this. And I want you to look at it carefully. What this is doing, we're trying to explain how a church runs. Somebody once, I asked them, do you know who opens the church or even if we close the church doors at all? He did not have an answer for me. We need to be intimate and know what is going on with our church. We need to be aware. And this is just one aspect of it whereby we are informed. That way we can make decisions moving forward on how best we can help our church. A good sign of somebody who is in a process of conversion, as all of us are, is a thing about loyalty. So, like you're loyal to a church, you know, you want to see things like you cannot just walk by trash, not picking it up. You know, this is our church. This is our church home. So we need to take care of it, right? So we need to actually really care about every aspect about the church, you know. Like right now I just came and I noticed that I don't have sufficient light right here. So I cannot read really good. It's going to be a problem for the sermon, but we'll... Thank you. That was not planned. What I'm trying to say is that we have a budget as a church. There's bills to be paid in this church, you know? And if I can just speak to you guys openly, is that this church has been here for a long time. I've been a member in this church for almost 7 years now. And I've been thoroughly blessed. But that is not enough. So over the years, we had a huge congregation. We had a lot of people, and most of the needs were almost being met. But now the dimension of our church has changed. People who used to be there are probably not here. People who used to have work have maybe retired. We have younger families who are not as financially able as once the church was. So the financial aspect about the church has changed as well. I want us to really think deeply about what I'm saying, because I want us to think about how we give tithe. In the book of Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Then God said, let there be light, and there was light." You wonder what that has to do with the church budget, right? This is a God who said something and then it appeared. This is somebody who has creative power, right? So whatever he says goes through, right? In that aspect, at the same time, I want you to turn to the book of Malachi. So you think about, you've heard this verse over and over and over again. Malachi 3 and verses 10. And he says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings, that there will not be room enough to receive it." So the same God who told you, or who said that let there be light, and there was light, is giving you a different promise here. He's saying that you try me. I want to issue us just a challenge, whereby the way we have been tithing, and everything that I've said of how the dimensions of the church has been shifting, and now we are where we are. If we can increase our church budget, all of us collectively, however you give tithe, if you can just increase it by 1%, not the 10% that is just required, but personally, that way we can get out of a mess that we are in. Try God. Try God. And I promise you, you will not regret it. We are going to repeat this in a couple of weeks again. For the next several months, we are going just to try, and because a lot of people are not here today, but this is a thing that is really passionate from the church board, from the church leadership all the way down. This is something that we feel that we need each and every one of us to help out the church. That way we can get things done in this house. So,
you want us to increase our tithe or our offering?
The offering percentage, whereby every single week there's a different offering. For like today is for the church budget. So every time, if you could just do a 1% increase towards the church budget and mark it down, it will make a difference. This is a challenge. I want you to go home, think about it. If we can, all of us, 1%, and see how God will reward us. Thank you.
nothing small. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, all of the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, we come before you, Father, humble, but grateful as well for all the gifts that you have bestowed for us, Father. You have given us every single thing, and everything that is good comes from above. And for that, Father, we are thankful. May you look upon these offerings that these tithes and offerings that we have offered, and Father, make them go long, Father. You know each and every person here. May you bless them. Bless everybody that has given. Bless everybody that had the intention, Father, because it was in their hearts to give, Father. In Jesus' name we do pray and believe. Amen. Okay. So now it is your turn. But this way. Now they have to do a song first. Special music. Organize our two voice when you can cut it.
Happy Sabbath, Church.
Happy Sabbath.
Okay, today we're going to sing in Swahili. And the song that we're going to sing is When the Roll is Called Up Yonder. Welcome.
Majina yaitwa Apollo. Apollo niweko.
Amen.
Let's just wait. Wait till they go and sit down. Just wait. You give them a chance. That way they can all go. Okay? You just remember what I told you. It'd be cool. Okay? Okay, go.
Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
The scripture is Hebrews 11:6. I'll be reading this text from the Living Translation, Hebrews 11:6. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists, that and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him.
Amen. God is good and all the time. God is good and all the time. Every single thing that is good in this world is coming from above. Every single thing. So you need to be thankful, because trust me, there were so many people who thought that we'll wake up this morning and be here, and not necessarily in our church, but they thought that we'll be here, but they're no more. So every single thing, including your breath, is from above. Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our kind and heavenly Father, again, we come before you, Father, humbly. We want to thank you for everything that you're doing for us. But it has now come time for us to open your word. We ask for your Spirit, especially, Father, to open our minds and to make our hearts receptive, Father, that way we might understand what you have planned for us today. Be with me, and may you use me, Father, as an instrument. That way, and it's not about me, or all the attention goes back to you, Father. May you be with each and every one of us, Father. In Jesus' name, I do pray and believe. Amen. When the roll is called up yonder. The young man who just read the scripture reading this morning, his name is Moses. And if you need a challenge, I dare you to go and pray with him. You'll be amazed. He's a really strong young man. And he's in one of my prayer meetings on Tuesday. On Tuesday, yes. And I love hearing him pray. I have other young people also as well on Wednesday and even on Sabbath evening that we are doing prayer meetings. And it is just a blessing. It is just a blessing to see that we have young people who know who they are and just love the Lord genuinely. Praise God. Today, first off, I just want to say thank you for this microphone, the one that we had before. It got broken last week by the speaker. He spoke so fast and so much till it broke. And I like this one much better because it matches my color of my skin, so it doesn't stand out. And I'm just thankful. I'm just thankful. My wife and my children, they're sick today. They're not here. So blame those two because I would have had a presentation. But at the same time, I don't like preaching with a screen because I have to force ourselves to think. We are Adventists and we are the people of the word. That's how we used to be called. But now we seem to be so reliant. And it's not a good look. Last week we had this speaker, he was talking about media, you know? But I wonder, how many people left here and immediately went on to their houses and turned on their television? That's a trick question. Do not answer. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is that it is a privilege. This is a high privilege. I was not supposed to speak today. I spoke to you about 2 and 3 weeks ago, and the person who was supposed to preach today is Brian Byron, but he's at home taking care of his family, so he asked me to step up, and this is my highest delight, whereby I can come and speak to truth, and truth that is life-changing. I did not raise my hand again to ask for this opportunity. God arranges things the way he arranges them, and we do not shy away. The scripture reading we just read from the book of Hebrews talks about faith. Most of my sermon today is going to challenge our thinking, and I ask you just to bear with me. I'm going to try my level best to get you out of here at 12:30. The last time I preached, I went overboard. At the fellowship hall, somebody asked me if I was considerate because he was really hungry. You know, so I'll be really, really considerate. But at the same time, are you considerate that you need to leave? Because what do you think is going to be at in Sabbaths when we are in heaven? We have to imagine ourselves in heaven constantly. If you go by and then you haven't even thought about yourself in heaven, you need to start doing that. The United States Marines. Somebody said, hoorah. The United States Marines. They are considered an elite group. They have always been an elite fighting force. Their recruiting slogan, it goes like the few, the chosen. Oh, no, the few, the proud, the Marines, right? Their emblem is an eagle seated on a globe with an anchor slicing right through it. These are the Marines. We're talking about the Marines. The first Marines to ever been formed, the first group of Marines to ever been formed in this world, was formed in the year 500 BC before Christ, by the country Greece. So these people, they already had thought about it, and it served to their purposes. So in the year 500 BC, they formed their own elite group, and they started off doing different things that they already had an army. The United States has a Marines, and they were not formed up until the year 1775, in November, October, around there. And a year later, we gained the independence from Britain. It just took one more year after the Marines were formed. I don't know if it's coincidence, I don't know if it was planned, but or maybe this group is so elite that it only took them 1 year to figure out how to get our country independent. Their marching slogan says, from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli, we will fight our country's battle on land and see. Remember, this is an elite group of fighting men. They are known for what they call spit and polish. These are the people who come and take care of business. If something is wrong somewhere, they are the first ones to go out. spit, and polish. The official colors is scarlet, which is red, and gold. Beautiful. If you see this man standing here who's a Marine, you will see that, okay, that is something that is really proud. Scarlet, to represent blood and the sacrifice of their fellow brothers and sisters. That is scarlet. And gold, to represent their faith, to represent love and loyalty. Their attitude, we're still talking about the Marines, and just for your information, I'm not trying to recruit anybody. I'm not on a recruiting mission. I have someone to preach, and we are getting to it. This is just an introduction because I see a lot of parallels in what is there and what we are going to speak about today. Their attitude is that they expect to win. In every single thing that they do, they expect to win. And their motto is Semper Fidelis. I want you to say that with me. Semper Fidelis. Okay, we're going to try again. Like, what's going on, guys? Just listen around. Semper Fidelis. Yes. What Semper Fidelis means, it means always faithful. Thank you. This is still, we're talking about the Marines. They are representation of the character of the United States. I remember that when I was young, about 96, 97, there was a bomb blast in my country. The United States of America's embassy in my city got blown. There was 270-something lives that got lost. The very first people that were there were the United States Marine. That's the people that they were standing out, because in my country, a lot of people is just kind of like my color. So you see, and then you just see, oh, that guy, what's he doing here? You know, going through the rubbles, explaining to the ground forces out there, this is what needs to be done. They are a representation of strength, determination, and vigor of the people of this country. This is not a military service. I'm just stating facts. Talking about embassies, there are 294 embassies, United States embassies around the world. 294 around the world. And they are guarded by these Marines. In 1987, the embassy in Russia was compromised. In 1987, and this is according to New York, yes, it's according to New York Times. In 1987, an article by Steven Edelberg. In 1987, the United States Embassy got compromised, and they had Russian forces or Russian spies inside walking up and down, taking pictures of things that were going on inside the embassy. Remember, don't forget the punchline here is Semper Fidelis, always faithful. In the article, it says that in August that year, 30 Marines had to be recalled back from home to be brought here to get a debrief, to understand what was wrong up until we had spies inside our embassies walking up and down. These people were walking up and down taking pictures. And mind you, during that time in the embassy in Russia, is one of the embassies that was holding really, really sensitive materials of pieces of intelligence that were out. You wonder what or how this would have been possible. I'll tell you a secret, what happened? It was women. Women. With all these high-tech technologies that are here, with all these guns, with all these weapon of destructions that they have, it did not take that, but it only took women to make these Marines that had stated, I will be always faithful, to fall into temptation and let these spies come into our embassy. You can rely on this writer because I don't believe we had fake news back then. But I thought you're going to miss that. But there's no fake news back there because I actually tried to find, I found the same article on Newsweek, and I found this article as well in New York Times. But the press had a field day. They said maybe we need to change their motto. Instead of semper fidelis, we need to change it to always faithful until, or further yet, always faithful unless. I hope you're following me. Don't get distracted with everything that I'm saying. I'm just really, really, there are tragic parallels to history in the Bible and in prophecy as well. Always faithful. These are young men who compromise their oaths because of a woman, because of voluptuous charms of women. I see people, especially men right now, people are just twitching in their chairs. It's okay. It's just fine. It's not going to be something that is going to be uncomfortable, but this is truth. So men, you're not in trouble. Let's turn to the book of Numbers in our Bibles. Numbers chapter 25. We're talking about women. Numbers 25, are we all there? Amen? Okay. Verse 1 to 3, and it reads, Now Israel remained in Acacia Grove, and the people began to commit harlotry with the women of Moab. They invited the people to sacrifice to their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel, who joined to Baal of Peor, and the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel. Let me try to paint a context of what is going on about what we just read. There's a place by the River Jordan that is called Beth Peor. That's Hebrew for house of gate. Beth Peor, house of gate. So the Israelites had been wandering around in the desert for 40 years. You would think they'll be tired. God presents them and brings them to this place whereby the River Jordan is here and the house of gate it is just showing them, like they could see afar off the promised land. They were almost there, folks. They were almost there. Almost to this land that they were promised. A land of milk and honey. Verse 6 till 9. We continue reading. He says, "And indeed, one of the children of Israel came and presented to his brethren a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping at the door of the tabernacle of meetings. Now, when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into his tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her body. So the plague was stopped among the children of Israel. And those who died in the plague were 24,000 people, women, with all the swords that they had back then to fight. It did not take a sword to make the Israelites compromise. What did it take, Judge? A woman. Always faithful. Verse 16 till 18, we continue on. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Harass the Midianites and attack them, for they harassed you with the schemes by which they seduced you in the matter of Peor, in the matter of Cosby." This is not like the Bill Cosby who's in jail about a woman or women. This is just Cosby. That was one of the, that was the name. "The daughter of the leader of the Midian, their sister, who was killed in the day of the plague because of Peor." These Israelites, they were almost home. They could see from afar off. They almost made it. But because of women, they fell. They got mixed up. They got mixed up. This is a chosen people that was chosen specifically by God as his people, as his children, to move forward, because they had oracles that God had had given to them that could bless the rest of the world. But they got compromised because of women. It did not take a gun. They didn't have guns back then. It did not take a sword. Nobody was pointing a sword at their backs. But it took a scheme of a woman to make them fall. These were heathens. So there's Christians, there's children of the Lord, and there's people who are heathens. So the Israelites, they fell into the heathen customs. They fell into the heathen idols, the worship of the heathen idols. They fell into the heathen customs. Like I said, they were putting on heathen ornaments, heathen garments. They were mixing themselves up with heathen flesh. Do you guys see where I'm going? They wanted so bad to fit in and be like these people. And for that, they intermingled with their women. And with that, they had to start worshiping idols. They had to look like them. They were putting on ornaments. All these were heathen things that were not like their own customs, what they were raised or how they were raised or how they were taught. These same Israelites, they've always been a problem. They've always been a problem when you read through the books. You see that they did not, any time they had problems, they still turned towards God. Every single time, and God delivered them. They did not have a match. All their battles were won, leading to this point. God delivered them in every single thing that they were doing. All the enemies, either they defeated them, or if they couldn't, God took care of their enemies. In the book of Exodus, chapter 19, let's all turn there, please. Exodus, chapter 19. And will you please say amen once you're there? Amen? Exodus, chapter 19, and starting from verse 5. And he says, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine." This is God speaking. "And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." He's addressing Moses. "So Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them all these words which the Lord had commanded him. Then all the people answered together and said, 'All that the Lord has spoken, we will do.'" In other words, they were declaring Semper Fidelis. "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. This is something that is interesting. That is what God is expecting from us. All that has been spoken, we will do. Always faithful. You think these people would be tired? You think they had heard the word, because they had the word of God and the spirit of prophecy with him. I don't know if you caught that, but they had the word of God. This is the Ten Commandments and the writings of Moses. The Ten Commandments stayed inside the ark, and the writings of Moses stayed on the side of the ark. The spirit of prophecy. They would have made it if they followed this to the letter. Does anybody see where we at? Are you guys following me? Because you're just a little bit too quiet. What does prophecy say about this? That was history in the Bible. We have talked about the marine, which is present. We have seen that these men who have to swear by an oath, they also fall into flesh. we've seen the history of the Bible, whereby God's own chosen people, they fell to flesh. And it's because of a woman. In the book of Revelation, chapter 14. In the book of Revelation, chapter 14, from verses 1. Here the Revelator is talking, not to be confused by the Terminator, media on the brain, but John, the Revelator, he says, "Then I looked, and behold, a lamp standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written on their foreheads." And then verse 4 and 5, he says, "These, the 144,000, these are the ones who are not defiled by who? By women." Don't you get quiet on me now. These were the ones who are not defiled by women. In different variations of the Bible, it uses different words. But these were not defiled by the women, for they are virgins. These are those who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. I like that beautiful hymn that we sang at the beginning. I don't know if you remember and caught the words. It's such a really good hymn. You know, like all the songs in the hymnal, it's just not by chance. These are carefully curated songs. And they're songs that really, really just hit home when you actually read them. "To God and to the Lamb, I will sing. I will sing." 144,000. Somebody might say, looking at our church, and we are almost 23 million something, you know? And then you might wonder that this is such a short amount of people, or a small amount of people, that it's only 144,000. Don't you worry about that number. Don't worry about that number, because if you start obsessing about it, you might lose the whole picture. I do not have to explain to you that when we are talking about a woman in Revelation, in prophecy, we are talking about a church. The Marine Corps, they fell to a woman. The Israelites, they fell to a woman. But then again, here, prophecy is talking about this group, an elite group, a remnant, 144,000 that have not been defiled by a woman. Amen? In the book of Revelation still, chapter 17, still here John, is being given visions, back-to-back visions, things that he could hardly imagine, things that he could hardly just come to terms with, because he would not understand. These were things that were far ahead of him. Revelation chapter 17,
starting from verse 3. And he says, "So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold, precious stones, and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written: Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abomination of earth." We are still talking about a woman. For those who have ears, let them hear. There is a woman out there, has a cup. This is teachings. Full of filth. My brothers and sisters, we need to guard our spiritual lives. We need to protect them from this cup of filth. I believe, in all honesty, about the remnant church, that this is the church of God. This is the church that has been chosen. There might be problems and everything that we are seeing, but we know through prophecy that the church will come through, no matter what. No matter what. People are easily swayed by this woman because of how easy it is about the teachings that they have, because of how sweet they might sound, or how this feel come out as, you know, but it's all a lie. We know what kind of side that the God tells his people to follow, and we know what kind of side that is coming from this woman. There's a lady in our congregation that I was talking to. And in most circles, when we're talking about churches, you know, and we want to address an issue, we're like, yeah, I don't mean this church here, but, you know, in the church, there's problems, you know, there's problems in the leadership level, there's problems in the local level, there's problems in the church board. I'm just not talking about this church. Why can't we just call a spade and know that we are all having problems in every church here on earth? Slowly, we are seeing this filth creeping in our church. We are defiling ourselves through this filth. Think about the music that is creeping in into our church. Think about the choice of dress that is being coming through the walls or the doors of this church. Think about the problems that we have by intermingling with people that are not of our faith. What are we doing? Have you made a stand? Have you made a stand that you will be always faithful to the end? I could go on about all these kind of different fields that we are allowing that are coming in. When the roll is called up yonder, I did not know they were singing that song. There's another songs, there's beautiful music in our hymnals. We just don't stress music, and I really want to stress about music, especially to the young people. There's music that is disguised as Christian music, but it's not. The theology side about it is all wrong. The voluptuous beat of it, it might be called syncopated rhythms, is all wrong, getting you all moving and twitching. No, that is a lie. Spiritism is following people, and people are trying to choose this because it makes them feel good. It's a feel factor. They're taking the religion aspect and changing it to be a point of, I have to feel the Spirit of God. This is what draws me. If you're thinking like that, I think the problem is with you. It's not with the church. Like I said, I could go on. But if you want to be counted among the number, when the saints go marching in, you have to take a stand. These are challenging things that I talk. I don't want to be the rumble guy whereby he's always getting up there and then you have to really feel tense because he's going to say some uncomfortable things. We have to be really aware of the time in prophecy that we are living in right now. We don't have any more time. We could be talking about different things. The writer in Hebrews talks about solid foods and milk. We're too busy because we're spiritually immature that we don't have time to talk about deep things on how we can elevate ourselves and help everybody who's around us by proclaiming the three angels' messages. We could be equipping evangelists right now in our church, but we are lethargic. We are thinking that we are really comfortable, but we are not. You think about the letters from the Revelator to the church of Laodicea. It is a lukewarm church. It is a church that thinks that is okay, but it's not okay. We need to challenge ourselves, brothers and sisters. Where do we stand? Why do we come into these walls? Do we just come out here because this is a social gathering? You come and meet everybody? Or do you come here because you honestly and deeply have an affection for Christ? We have to take a stand and declare that we will always be faithful. You might ask, but how, Lord? How can I be faithful? Or how faithful do you want me to be? I'm going to pose this question to people who are in the congregation that are married. How faithful do you want your wife to be? How faithful do you want your husband to be? That faithful, that is what God is asking us to be. Because there's challenging times that are coming to at the very end and we are not prepared. The spirit of prophecy tells us 1 in 20. 1 in 20. That's the number. How do I start being faithful? It's by little things. It's by little things. Number one, getting on our knees and praying. We need to get more on our knees and pray to be filled with the Spirit of God. Getting out of bad relationships. I'm not talking about divorces. If you're married, stay like that. If you're in a relationship with a non-believer, he will lead you astray, or she will lead you astray. I think I've been a little bit too hard on men this Sabbath morning, but let me talk a little bit about women. The choice of dress that we choose to put on coming to the house of worship, and not only here. The way I need to see you here is probably I would not be ashamed when I meet you out in the street because you're ashamed of what you have put on. We need to stop putting on things that are leading other men to fall into sin. Most people, these are things that they don't want to hear. We live in a different age right now whereby people are so sensitive. They are so sensitive. Once you say something, it is different. We have half of our congregation is coming from Africa. They're coming here. They have their virtues. But then again, we're seeing a degeneration of the children. And then we're wondering, what is wrong? We need to wipe up all that artificial things on our faces. Take them off. We don't need that. That is just a mask of something that's missing on the inside. Young people, if you're too busy putting on jewelry, if you're too busy trying to play makeup, that's not how you attract a man. A true Christian man looks for something that is much more. He looks straight, something that is from the inside and is so beautiful. These are challenging things, but we are not talking more to our young people, and that's why we are seeing a decline. I am sorry, but this is the truth. The biggest thing I think that can help you to be even more faithful, because it doesn't come to us automatic. It is not natural for us to be as faithful as God is requiring us. Is surrendering our will to Jesus Christ, the rock of ages. And what I mean by this, there was two children, right? We're going to call them Mary and Peter. They lived near a railway track. And like kids, they liked playing on it when the train was not there, trying to walk on top of the rail to see how far they could go. There was a tunnel, and they decided maybe we can make it through the other side. They got on, and they are going slowly. While they were in the middle of the tunnel, they started to hear a laughter on the railway tracks. It was the laughter of the train coming and chugging towards them. What do you do? Peter, being the quick thinker of the two, took his sister, put her against the wall on a rock, and told her, whatever you do, you hang on to that rock. You hang on and do not let go. After that, he ran, found a rock, and then he held on to it. We thank God for angels. Nothing bad happened. The train passed, but after the train passed, the child was still clinging on that rock. The rock of ages. In Hebrews 4, and this is the last text, one of the last texts that we're going to read. It says, today, if you've heard my voice, or if you've heard his voice, harden not your hearts. Verse 15 and 16 gives us the key of how we can know that we are not alone in this struggle. Just like I said, we are not alone. Because why? For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, and yet without sin. So, let us come boldly in the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Do you need strength? Are you struggling with something? Maybe it's that one thing, that one aspect that you think that I have to lose this, that way I can be true or I can be faithful. We have a high priest, Jesus Christ. That is the only name among men that we can be saved. If God is moving you right now and you're wanting a prayer to help you move forward, stand up. Always faithful. Faithful to the end. Semper fidelis. We cannot do this on our own. We are living in really strange and difficult times. There are people out there who are playing with the laughter of machine guns. Life to them is nothing. There is a time of trouble that is coming, and those people are going to be the first looking for the people with the seal of God. But we will make it. Do not despair. Let us pray. Our kind and heavenly Father, we come before you like the Israelites, Father. We come before you saying that all you have told us, Father, we will do. But at the same time, Father, you know how weak we are. You know how the enemy has lied to us. You know how the accuser of the brethren, Father, is trying to pull people down, trying to tell them how good, how bad they is. Father in heaven, these are your people. Forgive us, Father. Forgive us for being too weak. But in our hearts, Father, create in us a new heart. Fill it with your spirit, Father, and nothing else. That way it can be convicted on where we need to work on areas whereby we need to sharpen. That way we can build the relationship between us and you. Father in heaven, forgive us because we are sinners. I am not standing here because I have made it. No. I'm struggling too. We need help. That way we can be filled with your spirit. Take out all that filth. That way our church can grow together. Take out every single thing that is bothering us, Father, today, Lord, I ask. But mostly, teach us how to obey your commands. Teach us, Father, by giving us a new heart, that way we can know how to be faithful towards you. I pray this, trusting in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Stay blessed.
Will you please stand for our closing song? Number 100. Great is thy faithfulness.
Faithfulness, O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I
Father, we come before you, Father, thanking you, Father, that you're in the business of saving people.
Amen.
You do not wish that any of us be lost, but you wish that all of us join you. Father in heaven, forgive our unfaithfulness. Look at each and every person here, Father. Send them back home, Father, with a double portion of blessing, Father, by restoring their faith that they are not too far gone, that you're here, and that we have a high priest who can relate to each and every weakness that we have. Father, if there's anyone here, Father, who is struggling, we know what kind of person that we're dealing with, the enemy. The accuser of the brethren. May he be defeated, Father, because we know how it ends. And for that, we shall sing and continue singing by saying amen and hallelujah. Help us, Father, to be faithful and to follow the Lamb wherever he goes. In Jesus' name I do pray and believe. Amen.